This is Dave Brown, and welcome to the Frontline Freedom and Venture Therapy Podcast. As an adventure therapy nonprofit organization, we cater to frontline workers, especially those in the public safety and healthcare sectors. On this podcast, we cover relevant topics to public safety and our frontline workers' overall health by exploring the mental health benefits gained through outdoor recreation, leadership development, and self-improvement. If you have a story you'd like to share, send us an email at podcast@frontlinefreedom.org. If you're looking for more information about Frontline Freedom Adventure Therapy trips, check out our website at www.frontlinefreedom.org. Welcome back to our podcast. Today, I am going to explore something we all do, but often don't give enough importance to. Once again, we are talking about sleep. Today's show specifically will be based on the book Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker, who is a renowned neuroscientist and sleep expert. We'll explore why sleep is so crucial for our physical and mental health. As a side note, I have been feeling a bit under the weather lately. As a result, I have lost my voice. Today's episode is an artificially recreated clone of my voice. It may sound a bit monotone and choppy throughout, but it was important to me to keep the podcast on schedule and release new content. Back to the show topic, sleep. What makes sleep so important? Matthew Walker's book reveals that every species studied to date sleeps in some form or another. This universality suggests that sleep serves an essential function for all life forms. Every living creature on the planet sleeps. Fun fact, some animals sleep with one eye open, literally only sleeping with half the brain at a time and then switching to the other side. This phenomenon is called unihemispheric slow wave sleep. But why do we need to sleep? What happens when we don't get enough of it? In his book, Walker discusses the various functions of sleep, including how it helps with memory consolidation, learning, and emotional regulation. He also delves into the consequences of insufficient sleep on our physical health. In the book, Walker brings about an important topic of study. When we talk about science, it's easy to get lost in a sea of statistics and research studies, but sometimes one startling revelation can be enough to make us sit up and take notice. Consider this. Every year, a mass experiment takes place involving 1.5 billion people worldwide. It's something you've likely participated in without even realizing its potential effects on your health. I'm talking about daylight savings time. In the Northern Hemisphere, when we spring forward in March, we're essentially robbed of an hour of precious sleep. Now, you might think, what's the big deal? It's just an hour. But here's where it gets interesting and a bit scary. Research studies analyzing millions of hospital records have found a disturbing trend. The day following this minor sleep reduction, there's a significant surge in heart attacks. That's right, a single hour less of sleep can have such a profound impact on our cardiovascular health. But it's not all bad news. When we fall back in autumn and gain an extra hour of sleep, the rates of heart attacks noticeably drop. This two-way correlation also extends to traffic accidents, indicating that our brain, much like our heart, is incredibly sensitive to even the slightest changes in our sleep pattern. Research has found that if daylight saving time were implemented all year round, it could potentially save up to 366 lives in traffic fatalities. This is a stark reminder of how closely our bodies are tied to the natural rhythms of light and dark, and how even a small disruption can have serious consequences. But it's not just about getting enough sleep. What we do before sleeping matters too. The book highlights the negative effects of using electronic devices before bedtime. The blue light emitted by these devices can disrupt our sleep patterns and lead to insomnia. This is because the blue light suppresses the hormone melatonin, which helps us fall asleep. Moreover, electronic devices can also lead to a delay in our sleep cycle. The stimulation from scrolling through social media or watching a TV show can keep our brain active for longer, making it harder to fall asleep when we finally decide to shut off our screens. Let's cast our minds back to one of the initial studies in this field. It revealed that merely using an iPad for 2 hours before hitting the hay resulted in a significant 23% drop in the rise of melatonin, our sleep-inducing hormone. The culprit, the blue LED light emitted by the device. But recent research takes this a step further, painting a more concerning picture. In a meticulously controlled study, healthy adults spent 2 weeks in a laboratory setting. They alternated between 5 nights of reading a book on an iPad and 5 nights of reading a traditional paper book before sleeping. The difference was stark. When participants read on an iPad, the release of melatonin was suppressed by over half compared to when they read a printed book. Not just that, the onset of melatonin was delayed by up to 3 hours. So instead of feeling sleepy before midnight as they did when reading a physical book, the urge to sleep didn't kick in until the early morning hours after reading on an iPad. This research underscores the importance of being mindful of our pre-bedtime habits. It's not just about the quantity of sleep, but also the quality, and our modern devices, despite their convenience and appeal, might be doing more harm than good when it comes to our sleep. So, what's the solution? Walker suggests implementing a screen curfew at least 30 minutes to an hour before bedtime. This means turning off all electronic devices and instead engaging in relaxing activities like reading or bathing. Doing so can help our brain and body wind down and prepare for a restful night's sleep. Walker also emphasizes the importance of maintaining a consistent sleep schedule. Our bodies thrive on routine, and keeping a regular sleep schedule helps regulate our internal body clock, leading to better sleep quality. Now let's talk about the benefits of sleep. It rejuvenates our bodies, repairs cells, consolidates memories, and even aids in learning new skills. So, skimping on sleep can have serious consequences, from reduced productivity to increased risk of diseases. So how can we improve our sleep quality? Walker provides several tips in his book. Some of these include what we have already mentioned, such as reducing exposure to electronic devices before bed, keeping a consistent sleep schedule, and creating a sleep-friendly environment. This includes keeping the room dark and cool, as well as using white noise to drown out any distracting sounds. Walker found that the ideal room temperature for sleep was 65 degrees Fahrenheit. Additionally, incorporating relaxation techniques, such as deep breathing or meditation, can also help improve sleep quality. Why We Sleep is a good read that underscores the importance of prioritizing sleep for overall well-being. It's not just about getting more hours in bed, but about understanding the profound impact. That's all for today's episode. Thank you once again for listening. As always, please take care of yourselves and each other. Stay safe. Thanks for listening to this episode of Frontline Freedom Adventure Therapy Podcast. If you have a story you'd like to share, send us an email at podcast@frontlinefreedom.org. And if you're looking for more information on Frontline Freedom Adventure Therapy trips, check out our website at www.frontlinefreedom.org.